From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello everyone, welcome to our program. We will be reading in Luke chapter 19 this evening, so please have your Bible open at that portion so you can follow with us. We are, of course, continuing our study in the seven sayings of Christ upon the cross. Indeed, we've come to the final saying. That's found in Luke chapter 23 and the verse 46. But the verses I want to read to you from chapter 19 are very relevant to what we must say to you this evening. Then we'll be playing another extract from Tony Cafferkey's testimony. We started that last week. This is the second extract. Remember, Tony's testimony is free. We'll gladly send the full tape to anyone who asks us. But before we come to that, let's turn to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read from the verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. May God bless his word to our heart. Now that extract from Tony Cafferkey's testimony. You remember how last week Tony told us of how he was born on Achill Island off the west coast of County Mayo. Well, Tony's family has moved, when he was a teenager, to Wales. There he worked for a while on a farm. But then he attempted to join the Navy, didn't manage that, instead joined the Army. And guess what? He ends up in Belfast in the early 70s, just at the beginning of the Troubles. Tony takes up the story.
It was in 1970, just the beginning of the Troubles. We arrived in about 6 o'clock in the morning, from a ship, a troop ship. There was not a light in the city, and there was a grey, inky cloak hanging over the city. It wasn't comely to look at, but I thought there was something special about this place. After a 4-year service with the Army, I came out of the Army and I decided that I wanted to stay in Northern Ireland. At that time, again, I had a change of occupation. I joined the Northern Ireland Prison Service. After completing my basic training, I was posted to a prison on the northwest coast called McGilligan. Unknown to me, God was working out his plan for my salvation. Because it was in McGilligan I had first contact with people who aren't of my faith. Some of them did not impress me. But there was one person in particular, an officer, whose name was Duncan. He seemed to be different from all the rest, and we had conversations which eventually came around about Bible and about being saved and about scriptures in general. While he was witnessing to me, He told me that I needed to be saved. I tried to defend what I believed in, but because of this man's nature, the way he sincerely spoke to me about the Word of God and from the Word of God, he gradually began to break down my arguments. After many other conversations with Duncan, the Lord was working in my heart. And when Duncan had left me, I was still bothered about my sin. So I picked up a Bible and I began to read it. I tried unsuccessfully at times to lay it down, but I couldn't. After a number of days and perhaps a week or so, I began to realize that I was a sinner and that I was born and shapen in iniquity and that I had sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was this time that I accepted Christ as my Savior and I knew that I was saved. The Bible tells us, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And this I did, and I took God at his word. To some listening, this may be a sin of presumption. However, the Bible tells us this: "Those things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." In the light of those scriptures, I can only conclude that you will know, and I know in my heart, that I am saved, because the Word of God tells me so.
We'll hear more from Tony next week. Now we're turning to Luke chapter 23 and the verse 46. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." I want to point out to you how that the Lord Jesus Christ knew how to die. There is a lesson here for us all to learn. There never was a day in which the Savior did not think upon his death. He knew from all eternity that he was to die for his people on the cross at Calvary. Revelation chapter 13 and the verse 8 refers to this very truth. For we read there of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That is, it was his eternal destiny to die at the cross. Of course, the Lord Jesus died voluntarily. He willingly took the place of his people and died on the cross to pay the price of their redemption. But we are different. We must die. We must die because we are under the sentence of death. It is the consequence of our sin. The Savior willingly gave himself over to death. We are born with the sentence of death upon us. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 12 reads, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That's important for us to note. We must die because we're sinners. Christ willingly, voluntarily died in order to save his people from their sins. How much more important then it is for us to give thought to the day of our death. If the Savior thought upon it, it's even more important that we give thought to it. Let me remind you, and I need hardly do this, that men go to great lengths to avoid thinking about death. Even when death occurs, even the death of a near friend or a close relative, we are inclined to turn that occasion into an occasion of rejoicing in order to avoid thoughts of death. The home of the deceased is often more like a place of celebration than it is the place where death has taken place. At funerals, men resent a sermon that deals plainly with death and the eternal issues that spring from it. Believe me, I know all too well how there is amongst many a feeling that whatever the preacher mentions at a funeral, let him not mention death and drive home to us the solemn issues linked with it. The Bible says that it is the wise that give thought to death. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and the verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. It's the fool who builds his life without thought of death. You remember the story told by the Saviour, Luke chapter 6, verses 47 to 49. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Men who hear the gospel but give no heed to what it tells them, especially about their death, are building their lives on sand. That's a foolish thing. I tell you, it's only the wise who give thought to their own death. It's for this reason we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. The wise man is better served by attending a house where death has taken place, because he will be solemnly reminded of the end to which we all must come, and he will lay it to his heart and apply it to himself. A proper consideration of death will prompt us to prepare for it today. The Saviour knew when and how he would die. It would not catch him unawares. Look at John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, Jesus knew. Furthermore, down the chapter, in the verse 11, we read, he knew who should betray him. Nothing about his death would catch him unawares. But that's not how it is with us. We all know, though few give thought to the fact, that it is appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 9:27. But it doesn't tell us when. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, Proverbs 27:1. Therefore we must prepare for death at the earliest possible moment. I've often travelled on the ferry over to Scotland, and I've noticed that warning that's up in many places on the ship. When you hear the ship's siren sound, assemble at your emergency stations and don your life jacket. Listen to me. God is sounding the siren of the gospel today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, Hebrews 4:7. Life at best is very brief. Be in time. Come to Christ. God bless you. Remember our broadcasts next Monday. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT 78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT 78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.